Stand rock solid, oh you lovers, stand with me. Rise in spirit, oh you lovers, rise in me. Sing together, oh you lovers, sing with me.
Welcome to Elemental Castings. Twice a month, we will delve into one of the classic elements of air, fire, water, earth, and ether, or spirit, and have a conversation with a different practitioner of the magical arts. Today's element is that of fire, heat, the spark of creativity, the sun at noon at its height, sweat on our skin, and the power of our will. Today, we have in the studio Sharon Knight. Sharon is an initiate of the fairy tradition and a longtime practitioner of magic. She also enjoys a full-time career in the arts. Sharon has recorded 4 CDs, 2 solo, latest is Song of the Sea, and 2 with Pandemonion. She is also a partner in a film and video production company, El Mundo Bueno Studios. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Thorne.
So, at our last podcast, we realized we needed to say our prayers and make our invocations before starting. So, let's all take a breath together and say some prayer. Holy Mother, in whom we live, move, and have our being, from you all things emerge, and unto you all things return. Open our hearts this blessed day, touch our bodies and our minds, walk with us through the gates of power, in shadow and starlight, in fire meeting earth, in the wind on the ocean, and the sweet kiss of life. Blessed be our journey.
And, Thorne, you had asked me to invoke some deities that are near and dear to my heart as part of this process. And so in trying to choose from the many that I work with, it occurred to me that I am probably devoted 80 to 90% to Venusian-type goddesses. Mm. So I figured I would invite some of them in the form of a chant that I learned from Sam and Tara Webster from their first crescent ritual. I believe it's written by Eli Shava and enhanced by both Sam and Tara. So we'll be welcoming Asherah, Inanna, Ishtar, Eresh Kigal, and the spirit of the Kadesha, which is basically a priestess of those goddesses. Ela Ashera, Ela, Ela Ashera, Ela, Ela Ashera, Ela, Ela Ashera.
Hey, la, Ereshkigal. Ela Kadesha, Ela.
Ela Kadesha,
Ela.
Ela Kadesha,
Ela.
Hail and welcome.
Be welcome.
So I have a couple of questions for you to start with, Sharon.
All right.
One is that I have a lot of friends who use drumming as a sacred act, and many of them consider their drums to be instruments of fire. I'm wondering if you consider that to be so.
Well, in a manner of speaking, I actually can see how creativity flows through all the elements.
Sure.
Definitely drumming is very able to conjure that lively kind of releasing energy. It clears blockages and allows our kundalini to flow. It can raise that really intense kind of thing. I also can see it as an instrument of earth.
Mm-hmm. I was taught, I played tar and baron, and when I was taught tar, I was taught by a student of the great Nubian musician of late memory, Hamza al-Din, and Hamza al-Din always taught how to evoke all of the elements in the drum, which I really appreciated.
That makes sense to me.
But I know a lot of us, when we think of drums, especially in the context of magic and paganism, we think of the big bonfires at the festivals and the dancers and the drummers and raising all that kundalini energy you're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you do much of that work?
Yeah, as much as I can. I love that. I very much love drumming for ritual and magic.
How long have you been drumming?
Whew. Longer than I can remember, actually. At least 10 or 12 years.
And how long have you been practicing magic?
About 22 years.
So longer.
Yep.
Yeah. You've been creative your whole life, though, I imagine.
That is true. I decided when I was about 15 that I wanted to be a musician and have been pursuing that ever since.
What drew you to magic?
You know, around puberty, it just sort of woke up in me. I was having prophetic dreams, very symbolic, mythic dreams. And I think one of the turning points was reading Sybil Leek's book, Diary of a Witch, and having such a resonance that I am that.
It's interesting. Puberty is when I came to magic, too.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I started looking into it at age 13, but didn't really come to it until age 16. And that, of course, those adolescent years are another time of fiery foment. You know, everything's changing and sex is waking up. And it makes sense that magic would enter there, too, for those of us that weren't raised with it. So one other question that came to me from your invocation was that word Kadesha, which I've also heard as Kadesh 2. I've heard different forms of it. And one thing I have read about that in the past, that form of priestessing, is that it is often a form of priestessing that uses sacred sexuality.
That's my understanding as well.
So I'm wondering if you tie sacred sex in with fire, with creativity.
I definitely do.
Yeah.
as I learned it, and I should clarify by saying that most of the magical traditions that I've been most interested in have been largely more about the actual magical experience, and the scholarly facts are a secondary concern for me, because I'm mostly interested in how we are recreating our traditions today and so what actually works. So a lot of the people that I've tended to work with tend to have that bias as well. So my understanding of the Kadeshtu priestesshood is based some on what we can gain out of old Sumerian culture and also largely out of visionary workings that I've done with various covens. Anyway, the point being that from the Crescent Hellions ritual, which I mean, from the first Crescent ritual that I practiced with the Crescent Hellions, was a visionary ritual that came to Tara Webster about how these sacred priestesshoods who did offer themselves as sexual priestesses to their community would need to take time to replenish themselves. And so they would close their temples during the period of the dark moon and do their own workings and their own magics that often included music and dance and art of all forms. Also, we do know from tantric practices, which is much more well documented, Tantrika practitioners, we're expected to learn 64 arts. And I could go on about this for a long time, but the point is sexual energy and creativity is very connected, both through history, from what I understand, but also more importantly to me as a very real living experience of how the energies both flow.
So how does that, I know for me, I say one thing I love about my religion is everything begins and ends with sex, right? sex is the conduit for all life power, life force, energy. And without it, we can create nothing. So I'm wondering how you find sexuality expressing itself through your magic and through your creative work. And I'm assuming your magic and creative work are, of course, intertwined.
Yeah, absolutely. They're pretty much one thing
right.
at this point. Well, my experience of creating any kind of art is that your channels have to be open all the way from your root chakra on up. And the best way to get there is lots of sex, I find. You know, of course, there's other ways to get there, too. But, you know, in magic, we talk about as above, so below, when we've got the cosmic serpent that is constantly cycling spiritual energies into the world and back out. And I think that we carry that cosmic serpent in our own bodies as well, and that's our kundalini awakening. And when our kundalini is shut down and our centers aren't all the way open, we'll feel shut down. We'll just feel kind of blah and uninspired and like watching TV is all we can muster. And, you know, I think that's part of a natural cycle, and sometimes you just have to accept that you're going to have a period of time that where that happens, but that it's pretty important not to let yourself get stuck there, and you want to always try to be keeping that flow open as much as you can if you want to create anything of any value.
Other than paint by numbers, right?
Yes.
I know Victor Anderson felt that in order to work any kind of effective magic, a person had to be sexual. And I think it's because we're not running enough life force otherwise, and B, our channels aren't clearing themselves. They're getting bogged down.
Yep,
plus,
agree.
There's another element there, and that is the element that's important to writing songs, painting pictures, dancing, and having sex, and that is the force of connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also think of that as that's a spark. Our synapses fire and connect in our brains, and we create something. We come up with the mad idea that then we translate into a song or
yep.
a dance. And so that connection that we have during sex is the same connection we have during magic and creative activity.
Yep, I agree. I think that both magical practice and the artistic work, creativity itself, are ways in which we communicate with our gods. It's a way, you know, we use the symbolic language of art in color, geometric shapes, tone, dance patterns, as a way to speak to what is divine, both within and without us, in a deeper way, because, you know, you can only get so far with words before you have to start tapping into a symbolic language. And I think the arts really provide that very nicely.
Why are symbols important?
Well, I think symbols are the twilight language, basically. I think that symbols in the world that we live in are available for us to use, and that they awaken entire gestalts, as it were, of a magical being. You can have an icon of Inanna, you know, like a seven-pointed star is used for Inanna a lot, as she's used for many Venusian goddesses. And you can meditate on this star and feel it with your intuition, and it will slowly start to open a gate in your consciousness and invite you into this being's realm. And so we can learn a lot and open a lot of doors by using these symbols that we wouldn't otherwise have access to.
Do any of your songs start with symbols?
Most of them.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, boy. Let's see. Well, I am very, very fond of using symbolic or mythic imagery in songs as a way of telling a story and revealing a deeper story within a story. For example, I have a song called Phoenix from the Ashes, in which I use the myth of the phoenix dying and being reborn as a way to invoke what I hope for our planet and for the evolution of humanity, that we are very much in a phase of sorrow and dying and grieving for, you know, what, where we've ended up as far as toxifying the planet and being cruel to each other, and hoping that we can rise above this. And because I don't want to specifically pontificate or preach directly about these things, but still want to communicate this message or feeling, I can use a storytelling symbolic language to evoke the space of it without necessarily, you know, admonishing people directly.
Right. Right. Do you consider your songs to be spells?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could go on forever about my songs, or I could just encourage you to listen to Song of the Sea, which I think is a fine, you know, 11-song collection of a fine example of what we're talking about.
It's a beautiful CD. And the video for, is it the title song that you did the video for?
Yes.
That's also very beautiful.
Thank you.
And where can that be found?
The best place to find that and some examples of my songs right now is probably my MySpace site, because I'm in the process of reworking my entire web presence.
Right.
So right now, myspace.com/SharonKnightBand. You can see the video and hear some of the music, and hopefully you'll be led to buy the CD as well. But I don't want this to be a commercial or anything.
We should support our local artists anyway. So when you are feeling creatively or magically blocked, what are some of the things you do to help clear your centers? You talked a lot about those energy centers and the chakra centers.
I thought this might come up.
Mm-hmm.
anything that can move my energy, and sometimes it needs a pretty big jolt. I will go jogging in a forest if I need just a basic hardcore flush of energy. I will take a bath. I will do anything that's out of my normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
I will go to the coast and watch the sunset, or go up to the hills behind my home and watch the sunset. I will begin again a practice of meditation. I am a strong advocate of meditation, and I have to admit I go in and out of it myself. But I think nothing clogs creativity more than letting your mind get full of clutter and worry and grocery lists, etc. And, you know, we all have that in our lives.
Yeah.
But if we can sit down to meditate every day, you know, even if you can just commit to it for, I'm going to do this for a month, then you teach your mind and your psychic centers to ease up a bit. And then even if you stop meditating after a month, that'll stay with you for a while. And then it'll build up again and you need to meditate again. So just training your mind to push the thoughts out or to let them come up but not cling to them and watch them. There are a variety of ways to do it and a variety of books that'll help you to do it.
Yeah, anyone who studies with me has to meditate, as you well know. And I'm interested to hear that your first response for a big energetic flush was exercise, which is another thing I've found. Exercise is really important to me. And if I don't get enough exercise, everything is much more difficult. Whereas if I do, my serotonin levels are lifted. I'm more creative. I have more life force. And my thoughts and emotions are calmer, which helps all the processes.
Yep. It flushes you out with oxygen. So it literally cleanses toxins from the body. And I think most of us know at this point that thoughts, toxic thoughts, can literally clog up the body with toxins.
Years ago, a young man asked me, he'd been reading, I think, Franz Bardon, the great magician, and he said, well, he says to start any operation, I have to still my mind. What can I do? I said, well, you need to meditate every day, but he didn't want to do that. Lazy, lazy magicians we are.
It's so hard for Westerners, I think, especially to not do anything. I struggle with that. I can't, I've got so much to do. I can't take a whole half hour to just sit and do nothing.
But I can check my emails compulsively.
Yes, indeed.
So how does fire work in your life, do you feel, in your creative and magical processes or just in life in general?
Well, when I think of fire as related to creativity, I immediately think of the fire of inspiration. And it's what most bardic types, right on down to as far back as we can trace, that has been the sole quest of a bardic type practitioner, in that the fire of inspiration is, it's like the fire of Prometheus, basically. It's that flame of wisdom. It's the ichor, the blood of the gods that we have within us, but that isn't always activated. And I think it's a core part of our great work, even for those who aren't magicians, just anybody striving to live a fulfilled human existence has some sort of a yearning to have this fire of inspiration burn inside them. So my life is basically an ongoing cycle of courting this fire of inspiration and either being filled with it or yearning for it and being a little melancholy.
I know some people write better when they're melancholy and other people write better when they're filled with the fire. Which is true for you?
Filled with the fire, for sure.
And those are the kinds of songs I prefer. I've noticed I get tired of the codependent melancholy versions.
I do sometimes write from that place, but usually don't turn it loose on the public because I end up feeling like, why does anybody want to listen to my self-indulgent whining? Not what my art is for.
So do you consider your art, the purpose of your art, to be channeling that fire into something that will inspire others?
Yes, absolutely. I consider that my core work in this lifetime and am always seeking more and more opportunities and, just that, more and more opportunities to do that with more and more frequency. I'd like to do that all the time.
I would like to support you to do that.
Woohoo!
Do you do much work with actual physical fire?
Off and on. Yeah, I'm very drawn to fire. It's probably my strongest element. So I've done a lot of manifestation magic that releases the spell through fire.
Mm-hmm.
I use fire to consume impurities. Like a regular balancing practice for me is the points of fire in the fairy tradition, where you conjure up whatever pattern is stuck or not working for you, and you roll it into a candle and burn the candle, and affirm that as the candle burns, the impurity is consumed, and then you charge up a bowl of water to replenish what you're wanting to add in instead and drink that down.
So does the energy that is getting consumed, is it transformed and then taken back in the form of water, or is it released? How does that work for you? Because I always release, transform, but then take back in the transformed energy.
Right. Like,
is that true for you?
Yeah. I would have to say, you know, a lot of fairies practice Kala.
Yes.
Which is you release and transform all within one chalice of water.
Right. And then drink it back in.
Yeah. And I use both of those things. If I'm feeling, there are times when I actually feel like I really need to just release something and it's too soon for me to drink it down. So it depends on the situation. If it's something that's freaking me out heavily, I might just torch the sucker and start fresh. But ultimately, I think that's more something I do in my mind. I think all the energy that's in the universe is the energy that's in the universe, and that we can't really get rid of.
Right.
So ultimately, it all is a transformation.
That's what I've come to as well. Early on in my practice as a baby witch and someone first learning magic, I would do a lot of work to try to get rid of things, only to discover that that wasn't functional and actually not effective. And I find the acknowledgement that we can't really get rid of anything. The second law of thermodynamics is helpful for me. You know, matter and energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Yep.
It just changes form, and we use it then in different ways, hopefully mm-hmm. ways that are healthier and
right.
more helpful to us.
Yep.
You have other art forms you practice too, don't you? I know music is your primary form,
mm-hmm.
but what other ways does creativity flow through you?
Well, since I'm fond of exercise, and that helps me a lot, I'm a sometime belly dancer. I used to be a belly dancing fiend, and just don't have as much time for that as I used to. But I do still strive to keep that up as one of the ways that I keep myself conditioned and my energy flowing. I'm also a visual artist. I make clothing. My day job is in the arts. I am a partner in a film and video production company called El Mundo Bueno Studios. So I get to spend a lot of time doing sound for film, in the form of scoring, sound design, Foley. It's a lot of fun making weird noises to enhance somebody's storytelling in their film. We've also produced a handful of music videos, including my Song of the Sea video. So I've gotten to, I've gotten into film editing as well. So at this point, most of my life is pretty much a creative flow.
Mm-hmm.
Creative flow versus grappling with technology, which is part of that.
Yes. Everything has its challenges. It's interesting how many belly dancers we know. As you know, I was one of the original members of Fat Chance Belly Dance when it was first formed. And I belly danced for years and years, and I still do. I still dance. Obviously, I write songs and music, and I write books, and I teach. It seems that most of us that access fire through creativity have a lot of forms. we at least dabble in, but then we tend to have one primary form we have to settle on because that's the only thing that brings mastery, right? So I don't dance nearly as much as I used to either, but the physical exercise really helps keep me unblocked and keeps the creative juices flowing. The other thing you talked about, Sharon, was changing your routine. That helps me too if I'm really blocked. For example, in writing my recent book, Kissing the Limitless, that will be out in the spring, I was really having trouble with a segment. I was bogged down. I didn't want to write every day. And so I would avoid it. You know, you do the whole clean the house. I would do my usual tricks of going for a walk or making a cup of tea. Even that wasn't helping. And I discovered that what I had to do was force myself to write every single day. Whereas I had been on a schedule of writing three or four times a week because, you know, I would do my other work at the other times. And I found that in forcing myself to write every single day, it got the flow moving again.
Yeah, sometimes that, you know, approaching it from the opposite extreme of just forcing yourself and deciding even if it's shite, it can be shite for a little while.
And some days I would only write 100, 200 words, but I had to write those, I had to eke out those 100, 200 words. And then the next day, maybe I would write 600, and then the following day, maybe 1,000, you know, and I grappled with it for quite a while.
That is a good one. I've used that one too.
Yeah. It's, we have to trick ourselves sometimes.
Yep.
Isn't that funny? You know, we have all these systems that seems like they ought to just work well, but part of it, I think, is it goes through our complexes, right? We still have vestiges of psychological or emotional issues of things that aren't quite on board with this piece of magic, you know? Maybe the part
That's the part
that wants to just stay small and not highly visible, you know, doesn't really want to be on stage all the time like you are. And that those parts, I think, fight us still. And
we have to
be in relationship with those parts and sometimes fight those parts and sometimes embrace those parts. And
that's probably my biggest fight, actually, because I am compelled to put art out into the world, but I'm also a very private person.
Right.
And I don't like to be treated like a famous person.
That's why I say I'm semi-famous.
I haven't been performing out very much at all lately for a variety of reasons, most of which have to do with recording, being in the studio. But I stopped, especially with my band, right at the peak of we were really growing. And that's a long story that we don't have time for. But I think I have a lot of that. I start to become well known, and then other people project this thing onto you. And I don't want to be made separate from people by being on stage or by creating. And so I then withdraw from that whole lifestyle. But then I miss the actual doing of it. It's my magical work. So it's an ongoing struggle for me to come to terms with how to balance those things.
I have found I've even had to talk with my ancestors about some of these types of issues because they don't like that I fly so high above the radar. That's not safe for a regular working class person, you know. You just need to keep your head down and go to your job. And here, I don't have a regular job, just like you don't. We cobble together a living from a variety of creative sources. And that makes my working class ancestors very nervous.
Are they worried for you?
They do get worried for me. And they get worried for me that I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. And they get worried for me that I'm so visible. So I've had to do some talking to them about that.
You're very brave, I think. You're a very visible witch, which is, you know, sometimes a little bit of a scary thing to be in the world, I find anyway.
I find it is too, and I just, as you said, I know it is my work, and I just breathe into it. I also have places where I can be small.
Don't you know, we all?
I have friends that it's okay to just be Thorn, and they're not looking to me for advice, and you have that too.
That's essential.
Partners are good.
Yep.
Yeah. So when your psychological or emotional complexes are coming up really hard, like when you Pandemonion was getting really successful and you stepped back, what was the process you went through? And you said you had to deal with that and look at that. What are some of the things that come up for you, and what are some of the ways in which you deal with that?
Whew, man, that's a good question. I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Well, you're in a new process now of coming out. It seems like you're recording more, you're building your new website. It feels like you're getting ready for a new fiery push.
I am, actually.
So where's that coming from? And what feels more at ease, do you think?
I think that I have come to terms with the fact that this is my work. It just is. And if I don't do it, I'm going to be unhappy and unfulfilled. And it means that I am going to have to just deal with all the things that have scared me before, like some people creating distance out of putting me on a pedestal or resenting.
Or kicking you off the pedestal.
Yeah, and then you fall and they're mad at you for that.
Right.
The fact that it's a very hard path, I certainly didn't think it would be as hard a path as it has turned out to be, this following the musical muse, because it takes a lot of time just to not only to create, but the whole machine of putting it out there to people takes so much time, and a lot of it is time that you need to spend that you don't get paid for. So,
right.
So there's an element of, I will probably, well, maybe not, I could be wrong about this, but I at least have to accept the possibility that I won't have much money in this lifetime.
That could change tomorrow.
It could, sure. It could. But I've had a lot of struggle with that earlier on that I feel that I'm more at peace with now. Always having a sense that I should be doing something responsible that makes a lot of money because I'm going to get old and I'm going to need a big nest egg. And actually, that doesn't feed me.
Right. So here we are back to life force again.
So yeah, here we are back to following the core of your being and trusting that it's going to be okay.
This brings up another aspect of fire for me. You're talking about your life's work and your big magic is, you know, what I'm hearing from you. And in fairy tradition, we call that the work of this god. Mm-hmm. In other magical traditions, they call it true will.
The great work.
Right, the great work. Your true will is a really common way of putting it. And that following our true will, though, requires what I sometimes call our small will. Mm-hmm. You know, finding the work of this god means, what's my work today and how do I show up to it? Mm-hmm. And so what is the fire of my will that I'm going to engage? I had a cold last week. One day I didn't go to the gym because I really was too sick. 2 days later, still kind of tired, knew it would be good for me to go ride my bicycle to the Y and work out, but still didn't really want to. Said Thorn, just engage your will. You have all these years of magical practice, right? Get on your bicycle and go to the gym. And then, of course, we know what happened. I felt so much better.
Exactly.
Was able to get more work done. So I'm wondering, what are your will developers?
That's a good question. Right? I mean, I've practiced magic for so long. It's just
part of
kind
you.
Of there.
I know.
I mean, I'm able to do something just because I said I was gonna.
So you already have this baseline of will.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer your question, of course. Well, here's
but
an
But some
answer.
Days it's still harder than others.
Yes, that is true. I guess I just do something. Pick something small that's still part of that. And then that gets a momentum going. And once you do the small thing, then you start to feel a little bit more, okay, you know, I did that. I'm on the other side of that now. Maybe I should also do this other thing. And then you start gaining momentum that you can draw on. And one of those things that people can start doing, which you, I'm sure you'll love this, is just pick a simple magical practice and do it every day.
That's right.
Even if it's just for a little while, it can be a 5-minute thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're really out of practice or depressed or have a really intense job, whatever the reason is, it doesn't even have to be a long thing. It could be a 5-minuter. Just do it pretty early on in the day, I find anyway.
I do
if
too.
I can get the momentum going early on in the day, I have a lot more productive day overall than if I lounge around and check my email and, you know, get going around 3, which I also do. But I find that my energy is better if I can get meaningful things done in the earlier part of the day.
For those of you with jobs that you have to be at it 8 or 9 in the morning, I want to point out that when Sharon starts at 3, she's going till midnight.
That is often the case, much to the dismay of my loved ones.
Working a non-standard schedule can be tricky.
And when you work until midnight, you often want to sleep till 11.
Right, right. So that's basic. You're talking about basic magical practice of will building, which is you start with that small spark, mm-hmm. and then it grows to a larger flame, and
yeah.
then a more steady flame
yep.
that we can draw on over time.
Yep.
And then when we really need a huge fire, we're not starting from zero.
Right.
And this is where I find a lot of us fall down with our magic and our creative work both, is we want to start from zero and expect something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't work that way.
When I was a young witch, I thought, isn't magic great? I can just do magic and the stuff I want will come to me. And then later, through the School of Hard Knocks, I learned that actually magic is a discipline that takes years to master, just like any other art form. That, you know, sure, you can start to bend the world to your will a little bit here and there after you've been practicing for about 20 years.
Right. That's why they call it the craft.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't have anymore in most occupations this concept of apprentice, journeyman, master.
Yep.
But really, magic requires that.
It does.
And some people are in the middle of nowhere and all they have are books.
Mm-hmm.
So they almost... their lot is harder than those mm-hmm. who have access to teachers or groups that they can join.
I agree. That good old one-on-one human connection is pretty powerful.
But anyone can light that spark and feed it on a daily basis, whether they have a group and a teacher makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone can do it, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And that's another reason why our traditions are so powerful, and I think gaining power right now, is mm-hmm. a congregation is not required.
Mm-hmm.
It's just yeah. of help. Do you work regularly with any groups? I know you have in the past. You've mentioned the Crescent Hellions before, and I know you are a fairy tradition initiate. I know you do some things with that.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a regular group that I'm working with right now, as far as a coven type thing. I'm being pretty solitary, although I do some semi-regular work with a small group of fairy initiates, and I do some also semi-regular work with the Stone City community.
Mm-hmm.
And but other than that, I'm in a rather solitary mode. I'm very much about launching the next wave of creative endeavors. So that's taking most of my energy right now.
I'm in the same boat.
Yes.
Do occasional work with a small group. Most of my work is daily solitary
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very much looking forward to being at Stone City for Samhain.
Me too.
Anything else on fire and creativity, Sharon?
Let's see. Is there anything we haven't touched on? I have a little list here.
Well-prepared guest.
I try. I'm not as well-prepared as I'd like to be, but you're a very easy person to talk to. Yeah, I think we've touched on most of my points, actually. I think one of the reasons that I was drawn to a pagan religion is because of its emphasis on creativity as a celebration of life. So I guess I could throw that in there.
One thing that's coming to me is a sense of joy or happiness that comes when we're connected and when that spark is alight within us and we're doing our work, whatever that may be and at whatever level it is. And then that happiness, I find, feeds the fire.
It does.
Even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are other things outside of course, sex? We've talked about that
yep.
a lot. Our favorite thing. Sex, making music, making art. Are there things outside of that that help you feed your happiness quota?
Eating well.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, boy. Being in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Being in nature is a huge, huge thing for me. Simple things that all humans love, like sharing a good meal and some wine with friends who inspire me, being with people, traveling, of course, when I can. I think everybody would benefit from travel if they can do it. Pardon that. Those are the things that come to mind, I guess.
Do you feel pretty happy these days?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. I feel concerned for the world lately.
I feel that too.
So I've been thinking about that more and if there are ways that more things I could be doing to help somehow. I haven't figured that out yet and it's beyond the scope of your topic, I suppose, but I do find that that creates, the conditions of the world create happiness challenges for me.
Yes. I feel the same. I think a lot of us are very concerned with the world right now. But when I start to feel any sense of despair, I take in a deep breath and remember that beauty is one of the things that helps us all when times are tough. And so the more we can access creativity and put that out in the world, I think...
I agree.
The better the world is.
I think beauty really uplifts the spirit in such a profound way. In fact, that could be a thing to add to the last question is how does a person or how do I keep my happiness up? And taking beauty in is mm-hmm. also a key thing. Going and looking at beauty in the form of nature or going to a museum or listening to beautiful music and just laying on my bed and letting the music wash through me. I think beauty is so nurturing to the human soul that it can fortify us to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that if we really the best way to find within ourselves how we can contribute to making the world a more beautiful place for everyone to live in is by finding that core of true will, that our most impact that we can make starts with finding our true resonance inside of us.
I agree. I'd like to close by just leading us through a brief fire meditation, and then if you have another chant you want to sing, we have time for that if you wish. So let's all take a breath and imagine the powerful sun, wherever it may be right now. It's out there. And imagine you can breathe in a spark of sunlight into the top of your head and feel sunlight cascading down through your energy bodies and into your physical body, your third eye and your brain and your throat and down your shoulders, and let it open your chest and let fire enter your heart and breathe it into your lungs, and let fire flow down into your hands and your fingertips, and let fire fill your belly, the seat of will, and let sunlight open your pelvis and enliven your sex with heat and creative force, and let fire enter your root, opening all your stable connections and your good health. And let fire, the fire of the sun and heat, flow down your thighs, through your knees, into your feet, and down through the bottoms of the soles of your feet. And you are connected by the power of the sun to earth and sky. And you can also simultaneously breathe up some fire from the core of the earth and feel it mingling in you with the fire of the sun. And breathe deeply from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head. And feel the fire of creativity moving through you. And if you have a prayer to know your will or to know your creative spark, you can say that now. And whenever I have a lot of energy moving through me, I tilt my head back and breathe some up to my divine nature as a thank you. Whew. May I be aligned with fire and creativity and will. Blessed be.
Ah, that was nice. So a chant, eh?
If you have one.
Well, there's always the Holy Mother chant. You started with it as a spoken word, so it might be nice to end with that.
Excellent.
And it's the one that jumps to mind, so.
Before we do that, though, we thank all the other deities we called in. Thank you for your presence.
Ishtar, Rishkigal, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me, Thorne.
Thanks, Sharon.
You're welcome.
And also, before the chant, Sharon's work can again be found on MySpace. If you look up Sharon Knight, and that's Knight with a K.
Sharon Knight Band, actually.
Oh, Sharon Knight Band. And also embstudios.com, El Mundo Bueno Studios. And my website is thorncoil.com. And thank you for joining us on Elemental Castings.
Holy Mother, in you we live, move, and have our being. From you all things emerge, and unto you all things return. Holy Mother, in you we live, move, and have our being. From you all things emerge, and unto you all things return.
Blessed be.
Stand rock solid, oh you lover, stand with me. Right.